who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, a very good morning to you. Are you well? Has God been good to you? We're serving a faithful Heavenly Father. Amen. God is a good God, and the devil is a bad devil. And nothing is going to change that. Amen. Well, turn around, hug some necks, tell people you're at a good place, and introduce yourself. We're all family of God. And then if you can, find your seat. Hallelujah. Thank you to the worship team. Also, thank you to everybody that has arranged this conference. Let me just say this to you. I'm not on my nerves at all. We've done this many, many times before. We've started with less crowds than these in the past, and we've ended up with thousands. It's just as soon as the word finds momentum in the hearts of people, then it expands, you know, and it attracts, and the people come to the rivers of God, the many streams, the rivers of God flowing, gushing forth. And yeah, and I really know how to do this. I've done it so many times. But what I'm going to do is, first of all, let me just welcome all the pastor leaders here, and some of you that were afraid to bring your churches because you thought we're going to take them. We're not in the recruiting of people. We're here to build the body of Christ. We have got no ulterior motive but to bring to you that which God has revealed to us, our experience and our understanding of what God is saying to in this season. How many of you know that God's mercies are new every morning? God is progressive. The medical field, technology, education, everything out there is progressive. The only thing that stagnates is the church. We say, give me that old-time religion. If it was good for Paul, it was good for Peter, it's good for me. Eh? And God has got so much that he wants to reveal of himself to the church that we hold on to our little revelation that we have because we're afraid that our world might fall apart. Let me say this. Let your world fall apart. Hallelujah. Because God knows how to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He knows. He knows exactly. Listen, I've been many times to that place of total bankruptcy in God. And sometimes that is the best place to be, to run out of yourself so that God can ignite who he is on the inside of you. The truth, the reality, the pureness of what he wants to reveal to the world out there. There's a church out there and a world out there that's hungry for God. Listen to me, hungry for God. God has been shaking the world. He's been shaking the church since COVID. In actual fact, even before that, we've seen even during the time of COVID that many churches were closed, many pastors were fired. Yes. And I also at one stage thought, well, maybe I'm also going to get fired. Thank God I'm still here. Maybe that's just the grace of God. But the fact is this, you know, God is raising up a bride in the earth that's going to astound even the church. Even the church. So all the pastors and leaders that are here, bring your people. Because all that's going to happen is they're going to grow and mature in the things of God, and they're going to help you build what God has called you to build. That's all that we desire. Amen. That God's church might become strong in the earth. And we've helped many churches all over the world, many, many, many churches and pastors we've helped. Some are still running away from us. Others have came closer. I can just tell you this. For instance, you know, we've been laboring in Argentina. I've been to the well, many countries like America and Argentina, more than 100 times already. And we've been planting churches. Well, the work there, we started with schools. And eventually that grew into multi-congregation. We've got more than 500 churches in South America already. One stage, we had to walk away from everything that God gave us. And we started from scratch all over again with 12 people. That's where we started over again. And God just, in his way, built his ministry in the earth. And so, and then after we did the schools and when we did the 10th one, God said to me, that was now enough. Now the church needs to grow up and mature And we will see what we've invested in these people. And one stage I thought that whole work is going to fall to pieces, but that thing all of a sudden just stood up and got a life of its own. And it is exploding all over South America and the islands. And even lately we have the, to you it might not be a great thing, but I mean this is a testimony of what God can do. We have the president and the vice president of the Assemblies of God of the whole of South America that has now come and be part of the schools. They're sitting under one of my sons while he's training them. That's what God can do. That's what this word can do. We're not building a man. We're not building a man's ministry in the earth. We're building what God wants to construct in the earth. And you'll see. And what I'm going to do today, I'm just going to give you, actual fact, I wish I can get into the stuff I really want to get into. But what I'm going to do is, because we come from different streams, I'm just going to give you an introduction to what I believe God is doing in this season. Just an introduction. We'll talk to you about our apostolic mandate and what is it that God wants from us. And then in the second session, I'm going to start to venture into giving you some of the new wine of the season. God is doing two things. He's crafting the wine skin. How many of you know that you cannot put new wine in old wine skins? God wants to give you fresh wine. God wants to give you fresh bread. How many of you know that yesterday's manna will kill you today? In the wilderness, the Israelites had to pick up fresh bread for that day. And sometimes what we have old bread that we regurgitate and give it to our people over and over again and thinking this is just the best thing. But God wants to give you fresh bread. But the fact is, God's not going to give you fresh bread and fresh wine if your wineskin will not be able to contain what he wants to give you. So there has to come an upgrade in our modus operandi, how we operate as the Church of Jesus Christ. And then whatever grace God has given you, we're not in the cloning business. Whatever grace God has given you, on that grace there will come fresh revelation, fresh wine, fresh bread that will fill that wineskin. But I want to venture and say that the wineskin is going to be the same, because it's doctrine. It comes from the Word of God. Amen? So, I want to say this, and I'm going to start to say, we pray for new things, and when God sends us, for instance, apostles to the spearhead to do these things, then the ones who cried for these new things fight these new things. This is a prophetic tension that we've seen through scriptures. I'm going to be very basic in the first session, okay? So, Israel cried for deliverance, and when Moses came, they doubted him. Even while they were once they in the wilderness, they went to Aaron and said, no, we want idols like we had where we came from. And we long for the food of Egypt. They didn't know that God has sent them a Savior to lead them out and lead them into the promises of God. You see, that's just the tension that we experience. And even Jesus, the Bible says this, Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That's John 1 verse 11. Now that's why, you know, I want to say we are resistant proof. We are shatter proof. Because we've experienced so many times before. And we know what's going to happen. But the fact is, as I said, everything is increasing. But we're a new season. And we have to set our heart on migration. Let me just give you the scripture that's on the overhead. It's Psalm 84, verse 5. It says this: Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage or migration. You see, not stagnation, whose heart is on migration. So moving forward, constantly moving forward. Constantly seeking after truth. What is God saying to the church today? What is God releasing from the heavens today? And then he says this, and although they might go through the valley of Baca, which is weeping, watch this, they will change it into a place of springs. Not God. Why would they change it? Because they would be so full of the word of God, they would know how to speak to their circumstances. And then God, like the cherry on the cake, would come and he would fill the pools with the autumn rains. Like he would just come and send some blessing afterwards. After you've changed your whole situation, he puts the cherry on the cake. Then he says this, and they'll go from strength to strength. Actually, in fact, in the original language, he says, from a security to a force to be reckoned with. Until each of us appear before the Lord in Zion. Zion is a place of perfection. God is taking his church, migrating his church from where we are, many times in stagnation, to a place of Zion, the place of perfection. How many of you know that God is out there looking for the God? Let me say this to you. There's only one message. Don't come and tell me, you know, many people built with prosperity, they built with healing, they built with certain giftings. But if you're a child, God will let you play with the gifts. You didn't catch that. There's only one message. There's only one message, and it will never change. Christ's fully formed in a people. Everything ultimately needs to lead to that. Where Christ, and I'll show you just now, where Christ is fully formed in a people. Amen? And let me just say to you, and we're in a third reformation. I don't have time to deal with threefold things, otherwise we'll be here for a week. But this is an apostolic prophetic reformation move of God that we're in. It is essential to understand the purpose of each move of God. How many of you know that there were many moves in the past? We're in a new one. Every legitimate move of God, listen to this, and I'm going to give you the details so you can listen to this series again so you can make proper notes and preach it, whatever. Every legitimate move of God is specifically designed to restore kingdom truth, which was lost to the church through the ages and replaced with religious practices, worldly systems, and traditions of men. So what does Reformation do? Come and restore. Bring back. Amen? And the apostolic prophetic reformation is an authentic move of the Holy Spirit, restoring apostles and prophets to their rightful function in the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. This move of God is also restoring the church to dominion. Much of the church lost dominion and their true identity, who they truly are, as sons of God. If you know who you are, let me for instance say this. Poverty is not a money issue. You know what poverty is? It's an identity crisis. You don't know who you are. Because if you knew who you were, you wouldn't have a problem with finances. And I always use this example. I say, when I went to go visit my son Benny at his place where he was living at the plot, and as I got there, he wasn't there. And I phoned him and said, "Where are you?" He says, "No, I'm at your house." I said, "What are you doing at my house?" He says, "I'm hungry." So he knew where the food was at his father's house because his mother cooked. Same with us. We've lost our identity as sons. We don't know how to access our Heavenly Father and all of his provision that he has given us. Yes. And therefore we cry. We cry for stuff instead of rightly position ourselves and who we're supposed to be so that we can access all of that stuff. The church, you know, the church, what we've done is we start to preach about breakthrough. God is going to give you a breakthrough, brother. Come for a breakthrough tonight. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get a breakthrough. You know, people are afraid to tell you the truth. You think just because you're going to lay hands on people, spit on them a little bit and pray, and then they're going to have a breakthrough. They're not going to have a breakthrough. You know why? Do you want to know why? Some of you, two of you. Do you want to know why? Because you're not ready to receive it. That's why we need the Word of God on the inside of us to bring maturity. That we can know who we truly are so that we can walk in the fullness of what God has in store for us. What will bring all of God's blessing to your life is maturity. When you grow up in the Word of God, get done with all this nonsense. Mature. And you'll see how this, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He doesn't say you're going to cry for it, pray for it. I don't ask God for anything anymore. I haven't done it for many years. Because everything that I need, and please hear my heart, I'm not boasting, it's an absolute fact. Everything that Ben Clenons need in life, I have. Everything. I don't ask money for a first class ticket. I don't ask money for a hotel. I just book it. But then I had to hear God. Did he send me? Or just went in? If God says, this is where I want you to go, that purpose is filled with all of God's provision. But many times people move outside of God's will because they start to itch. Or they start to think, well, they know better. Let me tell you something. The Bible says it's good for a young man to sit still and hope and place his hope in the Lord. That's not a nice scripture. I've been there. It's good for a young man still to sit and to whoop up the help van die Here. It's not a good place to be because you feel like you're in limbo. But the fact is this, God knows everything. He knows the times and the seasons. He knows what needs to take place in your life. But what we need is, we need spiritual fathers that are not afraid to tell people, listen, this is what you need to do to get to the place where God wants you to be. There's no spiritual father that will hold you in immaturity. I cannot stop what God wants to do in your life. It's impossible because I didn't call you. I did not anoint you. I did not grace you. All I can do is I can facilitate God's processes in your life by helping you to mature and grow into the fullness that God has called you to be so that you can have that breakthrough. I don't like that word either. There's no such thing as breakthrough in the Bible. It says to those that overcome, I will give to sit. Okay? So the move of God is also the restoring the church to dominion. I'm telling you what, you're going to see that this church of Jesus Christ, this little weak church that you, they might be 10 people, 12 people, 100 or 1,000 people. You're going to see them do kingdom business like you've never seen before in your life. Because this is going to be a something worth seeing church, a mature church of Jesus Christ that are so positioned in the purposes of God that the heavens will just be open over them to do what God has called them to do. There will be no shortage in any supply. Yeah, I wish I could tell you the story. Let me do it. I'm gonna throw myself out there. You know, about nearly 40 years ago, how many of you know Ed Trout, the prophet Ed Trout? He prophesied to me the first time I ever met him at Allemanskraal Dam, where there was a pastor's gathering. I was sitting way at the back of the church. I've never heard of this man before in my life, never seen a true prophet of God in my life. I don't know how, but they look and how they operate. So I sit there, and we're at the end of this whole conference, and I was there with my pastor, Pastor Damon, and he was sitting next to me. And so he says, was standing in front, they say, who has never received the word of the Lord? And Pastor Damon was doing this. He says, you young man, come here. In those years, you know, we were still, well, anyhow. So he called me forward, and he looked at me and said, you'll be flying here, you'll be flying there. You won't just be flying because you love flying in your pilot, but you'll be flying because God is sending you. And he says, one day there'll be a couple of planes involved in your ministry. You know, things like that, he said. And I thought, for years, I trained to be a pilot. I'm a pilot. And I thought, I would love that prophecy to really come to fruition. Because I've flown millions of miles. I live 40,000 feet in the air. That's where I live. And so I have a spiritual son that just started venturing into business. And he moved from Chile to America. And they made him a CEO of a very big investment company. And he's working for the largest Mexican family, richest Mexican family in America, doing investments and all kinds of things. And he phoned me the other day. He said, Dad, he says, you know, these guys got 8 airplanes. They don't know what to do with it, jets. So I started to talk to him. I said, do you know what? Of course, he's open. Some of the chief financial officers, some of those guys are now coming to Chile to our summit this year. He's influencing them with the kingdom, and he's telling me, tithing, don't even come to me straight into this account. He's telling them straight how things are. So the big guy tells him, so I guess I guess I need to sow some time on my airplane. Yes, he says 10%. So see, he says, so I guess I owe God 400 hours. He says, yes. And he says, and by the way, let me just tell you something. You can deduct that from tax. So now when we go to the States, we will have airplanes to fly in. I'm telling you, you must hear what I'm telling you. It's not about material things. I'm 65 years old. I had to wait many years for that thing to come to fruition. I have another friend there that will come pick me up with the airplane. I've flown in the States again. But that's not what it's about. I'm just telling you. The timing of the Lord on your life. I want to say you can hasten that by filling yourself up with the now word of God. Studying the word. What is God saying? So that God can use you in a mighty, mighty way. And listen, all those things, you know, like airplanes and stuff, it's like a microphone. It's just a tool to fulfill God's purposes. There's nothing to brag about that. It's just a tool. Amen? It's like your vehicle, your car. How did you get here? Nobody came with a donkey cart. I hope not. But the fact is, God wants to restore dominion in your life. And God wants to restore your identity. Amen, of true sons. Hallelujah. More critical, this move of God is restoring our relationship with God as Father and our identity as sons of God and with each other as the family of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know that Adam was God's son? Yes. Do you have scripture? Yes. Luke 3, verse 38. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Adam was God's son. You see, sin deformed us, but Christ came to reform us. This move of God will usher into the earth the greatest revelation of the glory of God this earth has ever seen. And then Acts 3:21 says this, the Christian Standard Bible, heaven must receive him or retain him until the time of the restoration of all things. Restoration, restore, to restore, or reformation, or restitution, or reconstitution is the same thing. I like to use the word, many people like to use the word reformation, to reform. So something had a form before, and it lost the form, so we have to reform it. But watch this, look at my lips. I'd like to use this word, reformation. The nation of God has to reform, to come back to what they're supposed to be. Now, reformation means this. Just simply diathosis in the Greek. Diathos, it means to break, or it means to bring back to original intent. That's probably one of the best definitions that you can hold on to and remind yourself constantly on. God is bringing the church back to its original intent, to what he said when he said church. What was on his mind when he spoke about reformation. You see, I say this. What we did is we pump our ride. Yeah. You know what that means? The lemwinkie op die aerial? And the little dog at the back of the car with the head that goes like this? And the fur on the dashboard? Now, that's before your time. But we do stuff to our vehicle so that we can become more acceptable to the community. And that's what we've done with the church. We've done things with the church. We've added stuff to the church so that the church will become more acceptable to the community. But in the meantime, we altered the design of that whole vehicle. I'll tell you one story. Apostolic Reformation is to restore authentic Christianity. To restore authentic Christianity. I've got a Range Rover, and it weighs more than 3 tons, and one day, the tires became worn out, and one of my spiritual sons thought to me, "No, he's going to bless his spiritual father. He's going to put some tires on that car. They're very expensive." So he went and he put blow profiles on the car because now the car's going to look much better. And I went through some potholes, and I bent all the rims. Couldn't fix it. Had to import it. 70,000 and a rim. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "What did you just do?" You see, what he did was he wanted to put tires on that car so that the car looked more slick, more nice. But the problem, he altered the design of the car. because the car was designed to be to go 4x4 off-road any time of the day with the tires that he came out with. That's what the car was designed for. He said, so what you should do is take out out of your manual, out of your glove compartment, cabule, there's a manual there. Take it out, go read it. What is the manual? The manual is a book that was written from the mind of the one that designed that car, so that when you read it, you can know how to function and work that car. And what we have done is we've altered the church. We've altered the design of the church. So we have to go back to the cabule, open up the glove compartment, take out the manual, read the manual again, so we can bring the car back to its original design, the way that God intended it. Ek het nog eens begin, is 30 minute. That was not, that naam aan hoe gestart. Hallelujah. So, what is the purpose of the apostolic then? And I'm going to show you what an apostle is. Apostles are often misunderstood because they carry the blueprint for what has not yet been seen. Did you hear what I'm saying? True apostles carry the blueprint of what has not yet been seen. Who are apostles and what is their function? The word apostle in the Greek is the word apostolos, which refers to a sent one. In broader terms, it can be understood as one who is sent out, if you will. In the New Testament, there are three basic uses for the word apostle. The first is specifically referred to the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, which is also called the apostles of the Lamb. Very important. Let me tell you, there are very few of those. Okay? Then the second one is generally referring to other individuals who are sent out to be messengers or ambassadors of Jesus Christ as ascension gift apostles. And there's very few of those. Let me tell you something. I don't even call myself an apostle. It's a function. Yeah, you acknowledge a function like a father. You acknowledge a father and the way he functions. So we're not into titles. You can call yourself an apple as much as you want. We know you're a banana when you open your mouth. That's just how simple these things are. And that's how we change the church. Yeah. There are very few apostles. Let me tell you now. You can call yourself an apostle. Let me tell you now. There are very few apostles in the earth today. Okay, what is the sign of an apostle? Tell me. Maybe it's a blessed still. What is the sign of an apostle? We need to clarify this. Very important. What is the sign of an apostle? Oh, he plant churches. Oh, he does a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on, say yes or no, or oh me. What is the sign of an apostle? Still in the Presbyterian Kerk. Matthew 13. Remember when Jesus spoke about the sower that sows a seed? And then in verse, I'll give you the verses now. Lower down, Jesus was talking about the sower that went out and sowed the seed. And then the disciples took him one side. These apostles say, why do you speak to these guys in parables? And then he says this. He says, to you have been given the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, and not to them. A true apostle is one that will raid the heavenlies, raid the hidden secrets of the heavens. Watch this. Decode it and make it plain for the people. What we have done is we've taken simple messages and try and make it difficult or what's it? Meer ingewikkeld. Complicated to impress the people with. But that's just the opposite of an apostle. An apostle takes the secrets, the mysteries of God, that which is not the blueprint of the heavens. That is the sign of a true apostle. And when he opens his mouth, he decodes it and he makes it plain. And you say, I understand that. I got it. Why? Because you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. I've got it. It's not to make something difficult. Let me give you the address. An Amplified reads it wonderfully. It is Matthew 13:11. And he replied to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. but to them it has not been given. That's a sign of a true apostle. Don't come to me and say, well, signs and wonders. I know God that wrought many signs and wonders through the hands of the apostles. But the Bible says, signs and wonders will follow them that believe. So it's for believers. Not just apostles. Anybody should flow in that. Okay? So it is to unlock the mysteries. What is God saying to the church? That is a sign of a true apostle. Now, then there's a third one that you can use. That is what we call the apostles of the church. Any church can send anyone as an apostolic team or a mission to go and fulfill a certain function. That's why I'm not really worried about everybody calling themselves apostles, because I know some of them are made apostles by the church. It's possible. But let me say this. Very few are ascension gift apostles that can really bring the hidden secrets of God. Okay? Because an apostle is just a sent one. It's a missionary. It's an ambassador. Plain simple. So you're going to be an apostle of your church. They can send you. They can call you apostle. It's fine. I have no problem with that. But don't think that you're an ascension gift apostle and we don't hear it come forth from your mouth. Okay? So watch this now. What is the apostolic? The apostolic puts Christ in a people. That is, it is grace. It's a grace that evokes an awakening. And we're going to talk later a bit about awakening. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, of an awareness. It's an awareness of Christ and labors on the formation of Christ in a people. The purpose is to the formation of Christ in a people. That's why Paul says in Galatians 4, 19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. It's for Christ to be fully formed in a people. Then a man-centered ministry, a gifted man-centered, is always preaching what Jesus can do for you. Yeah. If you're going to stand on the pulpit Sunday, you preach to people what Jesus can do for you, no, that's a man-centered ministry. Because that is immaturity. That's always the cry. What can Jesus do for me? A Christ-centered ministry, tell God's people that Jesus is Lord. There's a kingdom. There's a purpose. There's apostolic destiny. There's something much more in God to obtain than just running after stuff. Now, I know there's people that need a breakthrough. I know there's people that need healing. I know there's people that need finances. But rather bring them back to the original intent so they can grow up in the things of God and those things can follow them wherever they go. God, and watch this. What we have to understand about the church is God has done everything for himself. Let me give you scripture. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5 in the West translation. For he selected us out for himself, in him. When? Before the foundation of the universe were laid. In love, having previously marked us out to be placed as, watch this, adult sons. Say adult sons. Not napios. Not little children, nappies. That's Galatians. Although the heir is a child, he's no different than a slave. Napiers, nappies, poofduka. Those are the ones that need the breakthrough. But God's desire from the beginning is to place us as adult sons. Why? Through the intermediate agency of Jesus Christ for himself, according to that which seemed good in his heart's desire. That's a different picture. In Ephesians 2:20, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Amen? So, that means that the church foundation is rooted in the teachings and authorities of true authentic apostles and prophets with Christ as the center and the most important element. Everything we preach and build in the earth must be Christ-centric. Must revolve around Christ. God is in the Son and the Son is in the Father, John 17. So, let's look at Jesus' ministry. This is just, maybe just get through this part. In John 5 verse 9, Jesus gave them the answer. Said, very, very, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. And we are so full of plans ourselves. We've got so many ideas and doing stuff. But he says the son can do nothing by himself. He can only do that which he sees his father doing, because whatever the father does, the son also does. You see it? So you have to be a son, first of all, to be able to do what your father does. You have to know that you're a son. That's identity. You were predestined, conformed to the image of the son before the foundation. We'll talk about that later. Anything, then, I want to say this. Anything that you construct that's outside of the mind of God is illegitimate. Many of our plans are illegitimate because it's not in God's mind. It's not what God is saying. And when Jesus died on the cross in John 19, verse 30, he said, "It is finished." Then we have to ask ourselves, so what was finished? What did he mean was finished? I know what you're going to say. Many of you will say, well, he died on the cross of Calvary. Our sins are forgiven. We have a place in right standing with God the Father. And if we die tonight, we will be with Jesus. Yes, 100%. No argument. But, I want to say, if that's the only thing that he has done, then it, with permission said, that's a half a price. Why? Because John 6:38 says this in the New Living Life Translation. I came down from heaven. I did not come to do what I wanted to do. I wish many pastors want to hear that. I came to do what my Father wanted me to do. He is the one who sent me. That's a true apostle. Then John 4:34, the Amplified. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Watch this. And to completely finish his work. So now you must ask yourself, what did the Father start that Jesus had to come and come finish? Completely finish. What was his work? Then we have to go right back to Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Let them rule, reign, subdue, replenish the earth. That's your apostolic mandate. Now, I don't read anything about breakthrough there. That means this. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, listen to me. He restored you in all of your authority that you had before the snake and before the tree. Because you were made in the image and likeness of God. And the first thing that he did after he created you, he blessed you. How many of you know that if God blesses you, you're blessed? So why are you living a life that doesn't look like it's blessed? Yes. Come on, certainly his blessing must carry some weight. It's because we lost our identity. And we're going to talk about that later again. Our identity. We have to come back to who we truly are and have always been. I'm going to show you that nothing changed concerning your identity. The church taught us some stuff that was wrong. But he's brought you back. Now, let me ask you this question. So, to whom did he speak when he said, let us make man? Come on, talk to me. Well, who was there? In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Son was there. Who else was there? The Holy Spirit was there. And who else was there? I just read you the scripture. You were in him before the foundation of the world. So what am I doing this morning? What am I doing? Say, I'm making man. So every time you stand in front of your people, you're making man. You're restoring them to what they're supposed to be. Let us make man in our image and likeness. So they can fulfill their apostolic mandate, which is to rule, reign, replenish, subdue, and fill the earth. Now, I can work on any one of those subjects and just elaborate on that. But that is the purpose. So now, what did God do? Part of the wineskin. He restored He restored the ministry of a spiritual father. And what is the purpose of a ministry father? It's not to lord over somebody or call somebody a son. It's the creation is longing, Romans, creation is longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That son is the hoios, the mature son. Because the Bible says, because creation has been subjected to futility and longs to be liberated like the sons of God. So even creation around about us wants to be free. But they cannot be free because there's no son that's manifesting. Now, although the child is the heir, he's no different from a slave until the appointed set time by the father. He's the heir. There's no doubt about your heir, that which you inherit from the father. What a spiritual father does, he connects you with your inheritance and your destiny, your lineage, and your future. So what is the purpose then? Is to help sons, to raise them up from a napios, nappies, to a hoios. You see, and also this, many spiritual fathers don't like to hear this. You see, they all want spiritual sons. But that's actually not what we are there for. We are there to raise fathers. Do you hear the difference? We are there to raise fathers. You can't keep... I've got a son, Benjamin. They're expecting a little one on Monday morning. So I can't keep... He will always be my son. But now he's going to become a father. That's just part of the process of life. We have so many things that we have so wrong skewed in our minds concerning the church. The father is only the vehicle till Christ is fully formed in you. Now watch this. He has given us a fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. What for? For what? Ephesians. To the edification of the body. Until the full stature of Christ. Until the full stature of Christ is raised or seen. Now watch this. The fivefold is until gift. Until. It's not there forever. Until we come to that place where Christ is fully formed in the people. But what will never change? The Father. Always there. Yes. But the giftings... We've made so much and it's necessary. But to bring the church to a full maturity in Christ. So the purpose of the fivefold is for your maturity. What is the purpose of an evangelist? The old crusades. Come on, talk to me. Evangelistic crusades. He can do it if he wants to. But the purpose is to mature the body of Christ. To show them how to be soul winners. The fivefold is for the body. And what we've done is we've made it all about ourselves. I've got a healing ministry. Come, let me heal you. And we built Ben Clenon's International Healing Ministries. Where do you get that? Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, here's the wineskin. Those that build in vain. What is the word build? It's the word bana, where you get the word ben, which is son. My name is Benjamin, son of my right hand. Son. So God builds the house by yit. It's a family structure. So God builds a family structure in the earth through sonship. And if you build anything else, you build in vain. Timothy says, my church will be called, what? A household of faith and pillar of truth. God's church is a household. Galatians says, honor your mother and father in the Lord. Then he says, honor your natural parents, mother and father, and you'll have long life. Verse 2. So verse 1 talks about spiritual parents. Verse 2 talks about natural parents. So God builds households of faith with a father and mother and Lord with the one purpose. That Christ can be fully erected in the people. They can become mature in the people. I say to my sons many times, I will not manipulate them, I will not control them, but you will see me stand right in your face if you violate the principles of God's word. Because ultimately I will be held accountable. And that's why we teach them principles. What is the possible? Acts 2:42, that's how this household of faith is built. It says they followed the doctrines of the apostles, they fellowship, they broke bread and prayers. Plural. So they followed the doctrines of the apostles, not of Jesus Christ. What is a doctrine? A doctrine is a law or a principle that shows us how to act and behave. That's what it is. It actually brings how we operate in the earth. That's what a doctrine does. Understand? So God releases through this hidden secrets, the doctrines to the apostles. They decode it, make it plain, instead of into people, so they can become the house of God. And how did Jesus build this doctrine? How did he build the church? Many times you will find him reclining at the table. And who will he sit with? The prostitutes and the tax collectors and all these guys. The guys that you wouldn't want him to sit with. But that's how he built the church, because the church is much more than just the four walls of your building. The church is out there that desperately needs you. But they need you to be filled with the doctrines. Now, we can spend 10 years here and building doctrine into you. All the material is available. But the fact is, that's what God is constructing, a family. Because God is our heavenly. What is the highest rank in the kingdom? Apostle? No, Father. What is the greatest in the kingdom? To be the servant of all. Do you see that? We've had a lot of this stuff upside down. We think we upgraded by calling ourselves prophets. Now we're apostles. No, you're nothing. Become a father in the Lord. Raise up a spiritual family that you can mature in the earth. Very few people are called to, an actual fact is, even if you have a traveling ministry, listen to my words, you should be connected to a household of faith. You should be connected to a spiritual father. Somebody that can check on you and see that everything is fine with you. Amen? That's how we build in the earth. That's the wineskin that God has given us for the season. And then God starts to fill it. So it's household of faith with the Father, Mother, and Lord. We call them a set man, a second man principle. And then we show you that every kingdom or every kingdom has got an economy. And even in God's economy, in God's kingdom, there's a specific economy of that flows and functions in that kingdom. And that also, as I say, as the word gets built into you, the more knowledge you get of how to operate, and once you operate according to the principles, which is the doctrine, you will see all of a sudden all of heaven will be all over you. God will start to bless you, provide you. Let me tell you, my family is blessed. I'm blessed. Our church is blessed. You really have a blessed church. Really. Because our endeavor has always been, Lord, show us. We are hungry after truth. Just give us the truth. Even if we have to change, doesn't matter what we have to change, how we have to change it, but just show us. Let us understand. We'll hear it and we'll make the changes. That's been our life, all our lives. That's why God has been good to us. But I'm telling you, the church that Jesus is raising up in the earth is going to be a glorious, glorious church that's going to be filled with the glory of God. Because it's not just going to be somebody's good idea. It's going to be God's idea of what his church is supposed to look like. Amen? I've not even done an introduction to this thing. And the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. I should go there. The earth, Habakkuk 2 verse 14, for the earth will be filled with a knowledge, say knowledge, of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's knowledge. Our problem what happened with us in creation is our knowledge was thwarted. I will show you later. That's why we need doctrine. It's got to do with knowledge. Jesus' ministry, let me just say something about then I'm going to close. Jesus' ministry was never about healing, deliverance. He did not preach the gospel of salvation. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. It's a big difference. What is the kingdom? It's God's eternal governmental order, rule, and reign. Watch this. And this piece of earth first, before it manifests in the earth. So God's reign, God's order, rule, and reign must come into this earth before it manifests. Did he heal? Did he deliver? Absolutely. But that was not his focus. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. Go read it from Matthew, Mark, Luke, from chapter 4. And he preached the gospel of the kingdom wherever he went. And then he healed the sick. And he did all of the miracles. You see, we need to preach the gospel of the kingdom. What is our Father's order? What is his rule? What is his reign? The fact, let me just say this to you. You actually already know it. Why? You were in him before the foundation of the earth. When there was conversations going, I wish I could speak about this. When there was conversations going on in heaven, you were there. When our little ones were born, even the little babies, I would go lie next to them. I said, so what did Jesus tell you before you came to earth? Because he says, remember. Even in Job, the scripture, that God says, remember. You were there when we had the conversation. Go read the scripture. All we need is the Holy Spirit to reawaken on the inside of us of what we already know. And that's why when you hear the truth of the doctrine of the kingdom of God, hear the truth of the word that's released in the season, it will make the baby leap on the inside of you. You will say, yes, it makes sense. It's not something that's foreign to you, although it might be new to you. It might be the first time that you hear it, but you will know it. Because all you do in the apostolic, listen to me, I'm only joining the dots for you with scripture and verse. That's already on the inside of you. All of us. And that's the joy of the apostolic. Listen, there is so much more in God to discover. So much more. So much more. I had a conversation with some of the team last night. I said, and then we limit the unlimited God through our little minds. There's stuff that God wants to speak to us and release to us that will elevate the whole world that we live in. But we keep him bogged down because of our understanding and all the few principles that we have and what we believe is revelation. May God help us to get decapitated like John the Baptist. Lost our heads so that Christ can be fully formed in a people. There's stuff that God wants to reveal to his church that is so absolutely amazing. But we keep him. I believe the greatest sin is not smoking, drinking, wearing long pants, lipstiffy, long hair, all the stuff that we used to pray. Like, Malachi, you robbed me. Let me tell you what we robbed. We are limiting the unlimited God in our lives through our thoughts, our behavior, and things we do. It's time that we should release him so that God can be God in your life. So we can meet your real creator and all of its fullness and its ability that he has on the inside of him. There's stuff that God wants to unlock on the inside of you that you don't even know that you have. The heavens, when he breathed into man, he breathed all of heaven into you. All of heaven. Father, Son, and Spirit. How much of that have we seen? Come on, think about it. God is out there looking for God. He wants to see himself in you manifested. What did Jesus came to do? What was his ministry? He came to reveal the Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So that must be the purpose, ultimate purpose of sons of God in the earth, is to make God the Heavenly Father visible again in the earth. I bless you.